Okay, okay. All right, you know, we had to get hyped up for this episode. All right, let me cool that down. All right, that was Eye of the Tiger. If you're not already aware or familiar to that, that was by way of the movie, the Rocky movies, also the Creed movies now, but yeah, so. Welcome back to Aisle 7, the podcast. This is episode 4. We're a quarter of the way there to the first season now. Mm-hmm. Anyways, before we begin, I would like to disclose the fact that this is not suitable for the children under 17 without adult supervision. So please, if you have any kids in the room with you right now, go ahead and please remove them, as we do not mean any form of disrespect or offense towards any children. So we'll give you a few seconds to do that. 3, 2, 1. Once again, welcome to Aisle 7. My name is Savage. This is my beautiful wife,
Leethy.
And we at the Cove right now, our home base of operations. This is Beach Talk for the long walk. Anyways, we would like to give thanks to our sponsor, Anchor, for the free distribution of our podcast. If you're looking for a platform to follow our podcast, definitely download the Anchor app now. we don't take that lightly, by the way. And this is all about self-progress, people. Today's episode is dedicated to a very good friend of me and my wife. I honestly believe if not for her, we probably wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have the great start in our relationship that we had. And we definitely want to give thanks and praise and, you know, definitely pray for her family as well. But she's no longer with us. This episode is dedicated in the memory and the contribution to our relationship of Georgette. Georgette, we just want to say we love you. We thank you. Would you like to share a memory?
Yes. She was a very loving person. She wasn't from our race, you know, Tongan, but
she was Hawaiian.
She understood the boundaries of us dating at a young age and stuff like that. So she was able to speak life into us and things like that. And that's why I appreciate that.
She let me stay at her house and use her car because her daughter and my wife were best friends in high school. And shout out to her daughter as well, sis. We love you.
Thank you for the support.
Georgette, always. Not only rest in peace, but you are with us in love and memory.
We love you. Rest in peace.
Our thought of the day is love. How do we show it? Do you say it to someone? Are you hugging on a person you care about? Do you spend time with those who matter? Love is something to be shared and given. It's a gift that we might overlook often, and if not careful, can misuse it. Mm-hmm. Love unconditionally to a point that it could change a person for the better positively. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I agree.
Song of the day comes by way of Craig David. 7 Days. This was released in 2000. If you're feeling that, go ahead and
vibe with that.
Tag us in a video of you vibing to that. And yeah, definitely let us know what you feel about that, because this is definitely one of my favorite songs. I'm gonna pull this up real quick and see if y'all. Oops, that's definitely a commercial. But the reason why I wanted to highlight this song is because it's the month of Valentine's, and you know. This is a month where we definitely highlight our relationships with others, but more importantly, with the people we love. So, you ever heard of that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, look at you. You feel that? You remember when you fell in love with me the first time? Ooh. Yeah. Oh, that's that Craig David right there. Yeah. You like that?
Yeah.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, by the way. Love you. Yeah. On my way to see my friends. Nah, okay, all right. We'll stop that right quick. Anyways, that's Craig David, 7 Days, hence 7, if you're not already sensing the theme. Our number of the day is 27. If you come across it, dwell on the moment. Whether it's reference or you see it, just think about what's going on around you in the moment. 27, once again. We're going to be attacking negativity. Would you like to read that? Would you like to?
Negativity. Thinking different. If you're constantly...
If you're constantly ridiculed. Sorry. Ridiculed. Like being judged negatively.
For your way of thinking, it is because you are far more developed in your mental capacity than anyone else in your circle. Mm-hmm. You are aware of things that your friends and family aren't aware of. Don't keep those ideas inside because you will blow up at the wrong place at the wrong time. Instead, remove yourself from the group and act or move on your ideas now because only you see the vision and others cannot benefit from you if you constantly hold back.
I'm feeling that. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Yes, definitely. Sometimes you can hold those things in and it comes out where that's not your intention at that moment. And then you can be judged off of just that reaction if people don't really know who you are, you know?
Yeah. I would definitely say I think different. And a lot of times that's misinterpreted. And
exactly.
I've been ridiculed. I've been isolated from people. Sometimes by choice and sometimes by, you know, others just pushing me away. But are you someone that would consider yourself, you're a person that thinks different from others?
Yeah.
Have you been judged negatively by that?
I never really had an issue with reacting, you know, like or popped off if something negative, you know what I mean?
Good.
So
that's good.
I've always held back on those things because they never really get to me. But I was judged on other things, though, not those specific,
but just for
negative,
the way you think.
Negative.
Yeah, just for the way you think. I hear that. I definitely hear that. Thank you for your insight on that.
Thank you.
Our color of the day is silver.
If you see it, say it.
Once again, that's silver. Our person of the day is Cesar Chavez. Once again, that's Cesar Chavez, the father of labor rights. I would definitely consider him the father of labor rights. But if you don't know who Cesar Chavez is, go ahead and look him up. So that, you know, these people, when we highlight them in our show, it's to help you get a better understanding of how me and my wife think and flow as people in everyday society. Because
that's right.
These are people who are not only influenced us, but people we definitely hold highly in regards to as far as historical and, you know, in the change for not only immigrant lives, but people of minority and color. So, you know, when we highlight these people, definitely do your research on them so you get a better understanding of what we're about here on Aisle 7.
Excuse me.
Our quote of the day is,
"You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours."
Yes, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That comes by way of Confucius. I believe Confucius said it. He said, if it wasn't Confucius, it might have been Sun Tzu. I really don't remember. But I'll scratch my back, I'll scratch yours was in reference to you do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. So that's what I believe it stems back from. Mm-hmm. Before we go into goal of the week, we completed our goal this week by drinking a bottle of water every night before we went to sleep until today's episode.
Yes.
So good job. All right, that's motivation. The goal of the week this week. Now, I have a personal problem with it. I don't consider it a problem because I speak very passionately. Though, however, sometimes I put what I would call very edgy words on the emphasis of things sometimes. But my wife definitely tells me this all the time, and I do need to work on it in certain situations. Though I consider it to be very useful in certain situations. But our goal of the week this week is
no cussing until the next episode. That is
no profanity, no vulgar language,
no
inappropriate language until the next episode. So I will try my best. I can't make any promises, but I will try my best not to cuss this whole week until the next episode. That is something I definitely do want to tone down a lot more. You know, they say that a person with no profanity in their vocabulary highlights their intelligence.
Hmm.
And, you know, that's just what some people say.
That's mean.
But,
I never
think people who have that edgy vocabulary in their vernacular just means they're very passionate. So people say otherwise.
I
okay.
Disagree.
Anyways, I'm finally over my cough, though. So I'm happy about that.
I'm not.
we don't have the coronavirus. Screw
no.
the corona. I'm not into the coronavirus, so whatever. People are still, you know, hype about
that. The Budweiser.
Anyways, our influencer highlight, our highlighted influencer on today's episode comes by way of a Tongan Kiwi from New Zealand. His name's Lincoln Moa. And his Instagram social media page is LNX Moa Art, at. So once again, that's at LNX Moa Art. That's Lincoln Moa. And he's an up-and-coming graphic artist, designer. You know, he's definitely in getting his graphic novel done. But this guy is very talented. The work he's putting forth with these pictures he's drawn up, you'll definitely be excited to check this guy out. Once again, that's Lincoln Moa. But the page you can find him at is at LNX Moa Art. So check him out. Dude has great artwork, and I'm not only into it, but he's definitely someone to be highlighted because of what he's doing for the community and his graphic
Thank
novel.
Thank you, Lincoln Moa.
I wanted to highlight a new segment in our show for our introduction. This is called Workout Tip. And our workout tip for today is, if you have any time today or any sometimes this week to get those calves looking good, you know, spring's coming up.
Or just wear heels.
Or be like your mom. Anyways, calf raises. Once again, I'm going to say that again, because me and my wife, we're definitely active in our fitness. However, my wife is pregnant with our son. My wife is pregnant.
I am?
Well, I hope. I'm not. Am I? Anyways, my wife's pregnant, so, you know, we still try to stay active. But before she was pregnant, we were definitely active. And it's kind of slowed down a little bit, but we try our best to stay as active as we can. So, anyways, once again, our workout tip of today is the calf raises, all right? You just step on an edge or a ledge, or if you can, if you're on flat ground, and just raise your calves anywhere from 1 to 4 sets of 15 to 25, you know? And try to get your calves nice and defined for the upcoming spring, okay? How do you feel about working out?
Yeah, I miss it, man.
Okay. Ooh. Anyways, moving forward. Our video of the day comes by way of CT Fletcher. I'm the one. CT Fletcher, I'm the one. Get motivated today. If you're going to go to the gym and work out, as you can already sense the theme, I got my weight vest on, or as you can see, probably it looks like a bulletproof vest. Either way, I'm built to, you know, take on haters. Anyways, CT Fletcher, I'm the one. Get motivated. CT Fletcher is definitely one of my role models. I look up to him. Dude is motivation in the flesh, and I love it. He has definitely one of my favorite quotes of his is, what does he say? He says, I want to say it right, but while he's working out, the intensity level goes from 0 to 100 quickly, and you can see it in his videos, but he's one hell of an influencer, and fitness is his thing, but he's always like, everything, give everything. I love that. I just love that vibe when I'm in the weight room. Anyways, CT Fletcher, I'm the one. That's the video of the day. Go look that up, CT Fletcher, I'm the one. Do you have an opening statement?
Just like I've always said, stay positive and, you know, do something. Do something positive for the community.
Huh? Mm-hmm. My opening statement is the FUPA. Okay. So anyways, the FUPA, what I've learned, FUPA is, I don't want to spell out the acronym. But the FUPA is a region over the woman's private part, below the belly. And
men too.
If women sometimes, I wouldn't say, I mean, it's men have their preferences, so, you know, whether they like it or don't like it, men and women. The FUPA is that part between the belly and the woman's private part. And if it gets big, you know, it kind of hangs. And the reason why I'm highlighting it is clean it. Clean the FUPA. We like clean FUPA. Our prayer point. So we're going to go ahead and keep it quiet. Then we'll go to a break after, starting now. Okay.
Thank you.
That's the focus, yeah. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll get started on the discussion. But you know, this part of the segment before we jump to our break is called One for the Haters, and that's for you. All right, we'll be back. Welcome back. We are definitely going to jump into these 7 subjects of discussion. Before we move forward, we would just like to have a moment of silence for the victims in the helicopter crash. It's been a week and a couple of days, but since the passing of Kobe and those victims and his daughter Gigi, we would just like to pay homage. So we would like to have a moment of silence for the victims of the helicopter crash, also with Kobe Bryant. So okay, rest in peace to not only the victims of the helicopter crash, but to Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi. Me and my wife definitely feel for that, because you know, not only being athletes, but we have our kids, and we can only imagine what those moments were like. But prayers and condolences to Vanessa Bryant and the family. Our seven subjects of discussion for today. Now, this is going to get a little touchy, but me and my wife are definitely very passionate about these subjects. Mm-hmm. So, number one, working out. Number two, the medical industry. Number three, ley lines. Number four, history and math. Number five, our therapy. Number six, order. And number seven, sex. Mm-hmm. What would you like to talk about?
You pick. I always pick the first one.
I definitely want to talk about the medical industry.
That's fine.
So, getting into this discussion, all right, I'm going to just jump off the gate and say that the medical industry is flawed. And why I say that is, let's really think. And once again, before we even jump to this, me and my wife are speaking from experience, all right? We're not scholars. We don't hold any certifications or licensing. When we speak from this point of view, we speak from a perspective of experience, because we've been through it and we've seen it ourselves. So, the medical industry is flawed to me. And let's think about the role of a doctor. What is a doctor really supposed to do? He or she is really supposed to come up with the cure to your sickness or your ailment or your illness, right?
Right.
That's the first foremost thing I would think of a doctor doing.
Yeah.
However, from experience, when our daughter was born, there was some complications. And, you know, I'm grateful to Jah Almighty for getting us through those storms. But our daughter had jaundice. We had to get humidifiers and all this other stuff. And, you know, it was always a hassle, because, like, it never seemed to get better. But my daughter, I know, not just from genetics, but from the history of our people and our medicine, but they were just telling us how sick our daughter was. And it didn't make no sense to me. I could look at my daughter and feel, I could feel the mana from her, that she was very strong and the spirit within her was very strong. But they were always telling us, no, you need to go. They would prescribe these medicines. Go get this. We went and got it. Okay, so now that she's good with that, now you have to go and get this to combat that. And after, okay, now you guys, you know, that's 100% complete and successful. Now you have to go get this in case of risk of her getting this. And it's like, dude, what the hell? Mm-hmm. What kind of, how does the medical industry work where we can never really cure our loved ones? Because every time we come to the fact that we got to get this to heal that and heal that to get this, it was always sickening to me. And why I'm bothered by it is because you've been around the medical field for as long as I've known you. And I don't know how your passion was behind it, but MA or RNA, what were you were you going for?
No, I was trying to be a nurse.
Okay. And although you were for the medicines, I guess it was the... Because I come from a family... The women in my family were known for fight to'o. In Tongan, that's a... How would we translate that?
I don't know.
Medicine man or woman?
Yeah, like...
But the old ways.
Yeah.
So to me, how it was explained was my mother, we could heal people with our hands, spiritually, all right? Whether you believe that or not, that's not up for discussion. What I'm saying is I started to dive into that. I talked to my mom more about it, and I got more deeper in my spirituality, and I would just, you know, massage my daughter and get a coconut oil massager and pray over her. And a lot of the stuff she was ailed with from the doctor's perspective and what we were diagnosed with, she got better from. And it's to a point, I'm not one of these people, look, say what you want about vaccinations. I'm just saying, there's more natural ways to deal with these ailments, sicknesses, diseases, and whatever that's coming out, than just always relying on doctors to diagnose you with some sickness you've never heard of, for you to go and buy more and more medicine that you don't need, and you just end up spending more money to just find out you're sick with something they've never heard of. What do you feel about that?
What I feel about the medical field is
the medical industry, everything so, I talked about, or whatever you have an experience.
So for me, our experiences are always different because I wasn't raised out here, you know, and I've talked about it a couple episodes back. I'm the most healthiest person you can ever meet. Like me, I don't take medication. I don't, you know, I don't take any of that.
My wife is as healthy as an ox.
And as chubby as I am, you know, a lot of things
thick.
A lot. No.
Just go.
A lot of people, you know, I don't get sick. Even when things like, yeah, a little cough here and there, but I've always managed myself to where I get over it, because I not only believe that there's, we cure it on our own, but I also speak life into myself that I'm not sick. It's like a mind thing, you know? So the reason why I say that about medical, why my husband, like, I agree with him, is a fraud, because that's how they make money out here.
That's how they have to.
Yeah. And the thing is, back home, we use such, like, natural things, leaves.
Natural,
like,
remedies.
Yeah, like remedies that we use from home. And those things actually take care of us. Mm-hmm. And I've always had that mentality. When I had my daughter, when we had our daughter, and they were doing that, I started to get kind of like starting to believe what they were doing. Because then, yep, I started seeing how my daughter. But the one thing that I've told myself was, you know, my daughter wasn't immune to how I was immune to the island. So I had to see that whatever that she's going through, I have to keep telling myself, you know what, this is your daughter, she's gonna be okay, you know? And so when they would, like, prescribe us with all these medications,
everything, Jesus Christ, man, and we went to
different doctors for this and that, and it was just them saying different things. And eventually I was like, you know what, I've had enough, I'm not doing this thing. And as soon as we get her off of those medications, she was fine. Now my daughter is a lot older now, and she's as active, as healthy as she can be.
God bless.
And I thank God, because I've always had that mentality that you don't need medication. You know, I know people, I'm not speaking on people's opinion, I'm speaking on my own experience. We are not
condoning the fact that, hey, Stop going to the doctor.
But the one thing,
look into your own remedies, man. Look into it.
But the one thing that I have to say is that you can take care of yourself from home. The minute you immune yourself to medication, you're gonna keep taking medication for the rest of your life. I understand there's people out there that it depend. That's because you started with medications, you're going to end up with medication. So the way I take it is, like, if I'm going to get sick and I'm meant to die, then let it be it. That's it. But if I can take care of myself the way it should be naturally, then I 100% don't trust medical at all. Medication and all of that. So
one thing I know, speaking from experience, is I've been really sick. I had when I was younger, And I was like, I was dead for, I believe, like, somewhere between 5 to 10 minutes the last time I had this. I had internal ulcers. And what internal ulcers were was, like, I was bleeding internally in my stomach. I was having these sores, and they were bleeding profusely in my stomach due to poor diet and lack of nutrition, lack of iron as well, iron deficiency. I was anemic as well. That developed while it was happening to me. But the key to how that all happened, and the doctor said it, I had an Indian doctor. And when I mean Indian, like, I mean Asian Indian, like, out there in India. And he had told my mom, this is the last time, my grandma was already gone, and when my grandma was alive, she took care of me the first time. She ate these leaves and rubbed my body down, and she spit it all over me and stuff. And she took care of me, but when she passed away, we kind of lost that connection of how to do that again. And that was natural remedy, as far as Tongan medicine from the islands. This Indian doctor told my mom that your son did this to himself. And my mom was like, what? He stressed so much. And I was so young at the age. Like, you got to imagine, I was a teenager going into my 20s. I was like, I think I was 19 or 18 or 19 the last time I had the operation, when they singed my ulcers, meaning they went inside my mouth to my throat, down my throat to my esophagus and all the way down to my tubes. And they burned the ulcers inside my stomach. However, the reason why I died at the time was I lost a lot of blood. And they said I was gone. I believe it was 5 minutes. I might be exaggerating to 10, but I was dead, flatline. And I think the reason to that was there wasn't enough blood pumping, because there wasn't enough blood in me. So, you know, I had the transfusion and all that.
You were a lot smaller too, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe now, looking at it. I'm a fat guy now, yeah, but
with FUPA.
Maybe I do have a food, but I don't know. But Ja willing, man, when I had gotten through the whole ordeal, was when that doctor had said, man, he did this to himself because he stressed. Like, I stressed from the fact of the absence of my mother and my circumstance at the time, what I was going through when I was right. younger, that I made myself sick. I was telling myself I was sick. That was mentally. Mm-hmm. There was no outside external force forcing that upon me. There was nothing that was happening to me outside of my body that was forcing that damage to me. It was me on the inside. And why I highlight that is that a lot of what these doctors or the medical industry does is they need to make their money. I get it. We all are hustling. However, to be hustled by the medical field is like, I can only imagine a doctor having to tell a 7-year-old girl like, hey, you're sick, so you need this and you need that and you need this. And, and the parents never really fully recover that child because of how much the doctor the money they have to make by prescribing all these drugs and stuff, but never possibly healing the person. And it's sad. Like, there was a case I was just watching on Instagram the other day. A Tongan guy got on and he posted a video about how the doctor tried to scam them by prescribing these drugs that the mother didn't need. And because he did his research, caught the doctor in his lie and straight up just dead that whole thing in the water. But this sometimes can happen to any of us because of the lack of knowledge we have to combat these things. And it's really about getting into our own research of home remedies. So that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, another thing that for myself, that if we didn't need shots for school, I would never put my kids on that. Yeah. But the fact that they need to go to school and things like that, I have really out of my head. It's questionable. You know, but I believe in home remedies. Man, it's crazy because a lot of people always ask, you don't do checkup? Like, you don't... A lot of times, I'm not going to lie, people, they judge and they think the way they think. But for me, I don't need checkup. If I feel okay,
You speak to him.
And then the one person that I only should hear from consult with is God. And
amen.
And that's my very own natural doctor, and who, you know, I feel like the more you go to the medical for help is the more you're gonna,
you heal this, then you're sick, then of something,
you get
else.
Something else because of the side effects, you know. But the thing is, if you just really take care of yourself and just really exercise and really, you know, dive into your own health, you'll be okay, man.
It's just weird, like, to talk about the medical industry, like, not being in the medical industry, when you have to rely on the medical industry to take care of yourself, and you just never really reach that full healing or that full recovery because you need something else.
Yeah.
And I talk to my brother-in-law all the time about this, but one remedy that would definitely wipe out or destroy the medical industry is the cannabis field. Like, marijuana would definitely dead a lot of these things in the water because of the untapped research or the untapped potential that cannabis has, because we're so focused on trying to cure cancer and how many years has it been and all this money and tax dollars that goes into the research, yet we can't cure cancer, but for some reason we're all still worried about coronavirus.
Yeah.
Can we cure one thing first? You know what I'm saying? So that's just my own rant about that.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think the reason why people just look at marijuana, and things like that, it's because of the way that we abuse it nowadays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's not all users.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, nowadays, that's what's going on now. People are using it for partying, using it for wrong reasons. But if we really invest in things and do research, like you said, man, all those things are natural. You know what I mean?
I definitely, well, it's a natural remedy for sure, but I definitely believe cannabis could be the resolution to the medical industry. So we're gonna take a little break. You guys go get some water. This is only getting, you know, spicier, so go get some water. When we come back, we'll elaborate a little bit more and move on to the next subjects. So go ahead and get some water. We'll see you in a little bit. Hey guys, so picking up where we left off, I definitely believe that the cannabis field, or, you know, cannabis, marijuana, or weed, could definitely be one of the many resolutions to the medical industry, whereas when we don't always have to prescribe so many different medicines when, you know, cannabis is actually still untapped in potential of what they can do with it. So I definitely believe cannabis is going to cure cancer. There's a lot of testimonies out there we haven't heard of.
Yeah.
And you can look it up on YouTube. But I talk to my brother-in-law about it all the time. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, not so much of that, but I'm sure back in the days, like, what?
I mean, it's just one of the many ways. Well, yeah. Is there something you're aware of?
Like, you know, because home remedies, but the marijuana, yeah, and all of that, it comes from plants. It comes from natural base. You know what I mean? Like, so I can understand that, but at the same time, really, really just taking care of yourself, man. Yeah, watching what you eat,
proper dieting, nutrition, things like that. Activity.
It doesn't just play one factor. All those things play a factor in.
Be aware of your surroundings as well. Exactly. Like what you're around, pollen. If you're allergic, and just do your own research on yourself. Don't fall so much on people's.
Yeah. Don't. Don't believe too much on the things that you watch on social media and things like that. So
or anything.
Or any
fake news.
Yeah, things like that. And don't get caught up with distraction when you know, there's cure for things out there already, trust me. So
yeah. One more thing I wanted to say was also one thing that irritates the hell out of me. That really irritates the hell out of me. Polynesians are naturally or just islanders, Pacific Islanders.
We're
naturally
islanders.
Big boned, or we have a different physiology from other races. Mm-hmm. And why I highlight that is like these doctors need to stop measuring our babies based on the average American, because we are not the average American.
Yeah,
the format sucks. Like, oh, your baby's overweight or obese. It's like, have you been back to the islands? Have you seen those babies? So just wanted to say that. Please stop. Measuring our islander babies based on your standards.
If you have it in you where you believe what you're doing is the right thing, then hey, by all means, go with it. But don't just believe anybody and anyone, and because not what works for them doesn't work for you. Yeah. You know. So with that being said,
do your research.
Do your research, man.
Anyways, I'm satisfied off that.
Yeah, me too.
Moving forward, so that's medical. That was the medical industry. We have working out left, ley lines, history and math. Our therapy, order, and sex. What would you like to talk about?
Working out.
Working out. Okay, good. Why I had highlighted that in our discussions was because we're so active, we weren't pushed to be active.
No.
Let's be honest. Our upbringing wasn't easy, wasn't nice. But somewhere down the line, as the older we got, we found activity, or activity found us. Would you like to speak on that?
Yeah, the reason why I picked that working out, I wasn't just talking about physically working out. Mm-hmm. It was just even emotionally, mentally,
yes,
all of that.
All three
know?
Aspects.
And for me, I'll start up with the workout. It was already in me when I was born.
Did you know that, though?
I didn't know that, but I was always eager to run with the boys or work out with the boys. And it wasn't because I didn't want to work out with the girls. The girls was just not into it the way I was. And like you said, we have it a little bit rough because growing up with people who aren't my immediate family, because I was more advanced than their own kids, they didn't think it was good to push that on me. Does that make sense?
You're talking about as far as the standard of being the average girl.
Yes. So working out wasn't anything that was
pushed.
Instilled in me or pushed in me, but I've already did it without knowing I pushed my own self, you know? So, and to me, that was part of my way out of what I've dealt with as a kid. You know, mentally, emotionally and just physically. So a part of it, and when I got older and when I came out here, I still didn't really understand the concept of just working out, because you see, like, I have a lack of discipline.
Yeah,
because I didn't have that. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But you see, when I'm in the field, it's savage. You figure it, you're like, how you didn't have discipline but you're that good, you know? But it was because I didn't that no one instilled that in me at all. It was just over the years of what I piled up and what I had in me that I've always was an active girl. I've always was an advanced girl from an average girl. And why I say this, this is not to highlight or look at me in a different level, but I've always wished that my talent and that could have gone far. But I know God has a plan for me, and I know that wasn't my road, that wasn't my path, you know? So working out why it wasn't like me and you, because when I met you, you had this discipline like in you that I've always wished I had, you know? And we've always get into it because you didn't like the way I prepare myself. You didn't like when I had a game, I just go in. And
also, without... a lot of that was I was pushing myself.
Yeah, but my thing was I didn't have preparation. I didn't have discipline. Focus. I didn't have focus. You see me, I get on the field and it's like...
Yeah. For those of you that aren't aware, my wife, she is a rugby player. She's played football, if we haven't mentioned that before. So just putting that
out. And all of those... For an athlete, every athlete, they've always stretched, they've always prepared themselves, they've always focused.
Those who actually grinded.
For me, it was different. I was that type of girl. I didn't need all of that, because the minute I go on the field, I and that's, please don't take this as me trying to be
tough.
No, I went in there and I did my thing. As if I was prepared. But then I got hurt. But then, you know, I even dislocated my shoulder and I still played. But it was the...
If you'd have been prepared,
you Yeah, if I was being... See, even at that, like, I still saw it as like, okay, I got hurt. It's fine. I'll be okay. But when I met you and I got older and I understood that there's a time of focus, prepared, and then...
Time you put aside to get prepared.
So, working out was never serious to me because I've always thought my body can take care of all that, you know, and it'll just cover up the things that I missed.
Okay.
So.
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to say that activity is important. Mm-hmm. I push activity a lot because I coach, I train, and I'm definitely, I would consider myself a motivational speaker, definitely an influencer. When I train, or when I train myself, or when I coach others, one thing is activity is important. And I don't just mean that physically. I believe in three realms, right? Three realms of activity. There's the spiritual, there's the mental, and there's the physical. Okay, you do a lot of your spiritual studying. Whether you follow religion, or you're into the Bible, or you know whatever faith you follow, and then you have your mental. You read, you do puzzles, play games, you speak conversations to different types of people to discover who you are. And then also the physical. You work out, you run miles, you do cardio, you lift weights, you play in sports, whatever activity you follow. You don't even have to do that. You can just walk around the block. But I implore, or I definitely emphasize to you guys, my listeners, anybody who's following us, get out and find some sort of activity. You don't need to go extreme. You don't need to be like these super athletes. That we're not all built that way. But for those of you that are, you know, kind of on the brink of like, I don't know, should I start tomorrow? Should I start next week? Look, start now. I told you earlier today, calf raises. Go do it while you're listening to this. While even when you're working out, put this podcast on and listen to us. I'll definitely motivate you. Look, listen. I'm passionate when it comes to working out in the physical realm. Because I wasn't someone who was pushed at an early age. Nobody believed in me. Nobody cared about my physical development. And nobody for sure as hell saw the potential in me. It was until certain events in my life had happened when I just said, you know what? You're shit. You're not doing anything with your life. You are going nowhere and you will never be nothing. And I remember those voices in my head so clear, and I can still hear them sometimes in the back of my mind. And those things push me when I'm in the weight room. When I'm at my fucking deepest, darkest moment, when I feel like I just want to give up, I just remember at that point when I actually did give up and what it felt like. And I just say, fuck it. Let's finish now. Like, I push the art of the finish so much in my curriculum because it's really, most people will highlight the start. It is important to start. Yes, when you start anything, start strong. But the finish is so important. When you start something, you got to finish that. And I don't just mean that in workout. Anything in life that you start, you got to finish. Hear that from me. Like the real shit right now. Not even just workout. If you're doing homework or any kind of classwork or project, or even if you just feel down and out spiritually, don't stop. You've got to finish. Drive. Drive, drive, drive. Even when obstacles hit you left and right, storms are coming, you run towards the storm and you finish. It is so important. It's so underrated. You don't even get how underrated finishing is or the ability to finish. You got to finish. Because there's already people who doubt you. The world doesn't believe in you. And then some people are in your circle who don't even push you to do things. And you've really got to find that quality within yourself to be like, look, I don't care if these people don't believe in me and working out or whatever I'm going to do next, but I've got to do it now. Because these people aren't like-minded like me, and I'm already different enough as it is. I got to remove myself and be individual and isolate and start moving forward, because I've been stuck in the same place. So getting into working out, I take it very serious. Preparation is key whenever I'm in the gym. And it takes me to a different place. I call... My name is Savage Island, and it's a mental state. I go to an island, and I gotta be... It's savagery. I can't explain it too much, but that's what it is, man. So excuse my passion, but I take it very serious. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. So what do you have to say about
workout? Like, I mean, yeah, you build the chest, lower body, upper body, core, explosion, cardio. All that's important, you know? And you do your research before you jump into the gym, please. That's more important to me than anything. If you don't know what you're doing, you might hurt yourself getting in there. Stretching is important more than anything. If you're not going to stretch, don't lift nothing, because you could pull something, tear something, and hurt yourself before you even get to your goal.
So was working out a problem to you growing up?
I was getting a little bit hyped up. Working out was definitely not a thing to do for me when I was growing up. I was a fat kid. Then I became a skinny kid after being sick. But how working out came into my life was I was tired of being scrawny. I was tired of getting picked on. I was tired of just looking sickly and just not who I really was supposed to be or who I was meant to be. And I think Jah above Almighty for just blessing me with the ability to gain knowledge and apply the knowledge and really be effective in my life, because I'm confident when I look at myself in the mirror. I don't try to be cocky, but I know I look intimidating, but that's only because of what it's on the outside. I built to make this. I built this, and I was blessed to make this, because it came from just hours and years of hard work. You know what I'm saying? So
okay, that I can definitely see that. I think that's why
we. I mean, that's not too much into depth, but no. You know, that's a conversation for another time. But yeah. I love working out.
I think it changed me. Yeah, I think that's what balanced us out, because I was just this athletic girl that I didn't have no.
Didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I didn't know how to do with it. So that's why when you come in and you were saying like, man, if you would have just had someone that disciplined you, prepared you for those things, your path would have been different. Yeah. You know, and I see it all the time, because even when I get into something, I get so reckless. I don't even think about my well-being. I don't think about that I have 3 kids. I don't think about, you know what I mean?
And it definitely puts those things in perspective.
And the thing is, now that I'm older and I'm getting the understanding and the knowledge of just the working out, the concept of working out, there is a time and place. There is a preparation. There is a step of having to be a great athlete and just working out, you know?
Thank you. Those are beautiful things to say. And what I will say more about working out is that there was 3 things that working out taught me. Not even just being in the gym, but even running outside or, you know, doing plyometrics, whatever you want to call it, CrossFit, whatever. It taught me about 3 things about myself. It taught me faith. It taught me knowledge. And then it taught me respect. And all that was within me. And what working out was like, it created a sort of discipline to just maintain those things. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's what I was lack of, and that's what I'm saying. Like we balance each other out in that area, because I didn't have that, you know. And my father was supposed to be there to do that.
Hey, Jah is here.
Hey, God was there, and so I is there.
We're gonna get back to it. Guys, go get some water. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, hey man, we're moving on. So go get some water, guys. All right, so going back to what we were stating with the working out. I'm sorry if I rushed it, but what I meant about the whole...
sorry, babe. You did the good thing.
thing. I just got hyped up because working out I take very serious. Passion. You know that better than anybody. But working out to me changed me for the better because of where I was going in my life negatively. So if I didn't have working out in my life or fitness or any of that, I probably wouldn't be the person I am today. And I'm blessed for that. And I'm grateful for that. So what about you?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that I found those steps so I can instill that in my kids instead of just not knowing, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm satisfied with that.
Yeah, me too. Yes, let's move on.
Okay, so the next topic of discussion I wanted to talk about was another form of working out. Sex!
Let's go, Fupa.
Okay, so anyways, we're definitely going to talk about sex and why it's important for me and why that's in the topics of discussion is in the Tongan community or in the Islander community, Polynesian, whatever you want to call it, sex is taboo. We don't talk too much about it.
Especially for Tongans.
Yes, we do not talk about it. And I don't mean in the immature sense of, oh, yeah, we're sex. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I mean it in the sense of health-wise.
Yeah.
Because if we don't talk about it, what it can do to us and how these emotions cloud our judgment and we hold it inside and it can create monsters of us and how we can abuse that. I had a little promiscuous point in my life where because I didn't have a thorough talk with anybody as far as the adults in my life about how sex works as far as I had the talk with my uncle, but not a thorough discussion on how it works and how to take care of myself and the urges that come up when we're teenagers and the hormones we face of how to really take care of ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like how to really look into ourselves and control those emotions and really save it for the people we care for. Because I really do believe in strong relationships. And sometimes when we don't discuss these things, we hide them and push them away and they come out as like real, real, you know, strong urges later. And we can tend to do bad or wrong things with those emotions, with those feelings. Sex to me, when I was definitely younger, I would abuse it, man. I was just out there trying to have sex with anything moving. I'm grateful that I didn't have all these pregnancies or children with other people and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, I love women. You know me, baby.
You say you love men?
If they look like women and act like women. I'm just kidding. No, it's just a joke. But, I would abuse the fact that I could just have sex and not take care of myself and really think of the health issues out there as far as STDs or STIs, what they call them now, because there are infections and diseases out there. And if we're not careful wrapping up or protecting ourselves with prophylactics or condoms, the people will perish for a lack of knowledge. And that wasn't bestowed on me because, you know, when I was growing up, the biggest thing was like, hey, how many girls can you sleep with? You know what I'm saying? And you know, in that way, sex was almost kind of like a weapon to me. Like, how many times can I use it? You know what I'm saying? But we don't discuss these things in the community. Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what you're saying. See, just like I said before, sex is not a subject that we just talk about, you know? And for me, I've always, because I was raised by my grandmother,
traditional.
Yeah, in the traditional way, sex is not an option at all. It's just you don't talk about those things. And in a way, I disagree with that because I feel like when we don't talk about certain things, we tend to be nosy to find out to
come up in other ways.
And then you learn it from other people, and it's like now you just never talk to me about it at home. Now I have to find it out from the neighbor, you know, or finding out from...
And then, it becomes a sneaky thing.
And it becomes a sneaky thing. So for all I've known that the women in my family they never talk about that. And it was like, I feel like in their marriage, they were being forced to be with those men because... Now that they have sex with those men, you're there for life. And yes, that is what it says on the Bible. Sex is something that God created because our body is a temple of God.
But it's a privilege.
Yeah. But also, sex, it wasn't just like you just go do it whenever you feel like it. It was, it wasn't like that. And so, for what I've always known from my own experience and things like that, you save it until, for our culture... until you're 21. And I know there's another subject, but even like when it comes to our culture, dance and stuff like that, you don't just dance if you're not a virgin. You know what I mean? You don't.
That's a requirement.
A lot of that, and I feel like it has to do with like just the way we are back
home. Perceive it.
Yeah. And so it becomes like a subject that we don't talk about because.
What I will say about it, because I know we're going to have this conversation later on in the years to come with our children.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be a healthy conversation. Yeah. Not like,
yeah.
No. Like, to my young men, listen to what I'm saying. Protect yourselves. Drink water. Take your vitamins, whatever. Have a good nutrition. But more importantly, mentally, listen to me, mentally, value yourself. Don't just think because you can, you should just be out there giving it away to everybody. Because you will lose the value in it, and you'll just objectify every woman you come across and be like, I can do it with her, I can do it with her. And it's no longer a love thing. It's no longer a thing of romance. You'll never find that spark with someone you truly love and care about. And I was fortunate to not only fall in love with somebody who saved it for me, because yes, I did take my wife's virginity, but the beauty in that and what I learned from her was that her love language was that she only wanted to give it to the person she was going to love and care for the rest of her life. And it didn't hit me until, you know, leading up to the night, how romantic and special that was to us, because you...
And I was, how scared I was, yeah, too, but...
I cherish it.
Yeah, you know, and to be very honest, you know, it's funny because you don't find a lot of women like that. And
I'm grateful. Thank you.
Yeah, and
thank you for that. You're a very good person for doing that.
Fupa. Anyways, but I think the one thing that a lot of young couple are missing is the minute you have sex, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm just saying when you don't have the understanding of why you guys are having sex, I'm telling you, it's all gonna fall apart.
Yeah.
I've seen
it's just an act now.
Yeah,
just
I've
doing
seen
it for a
relationship
reason.
Who just
based on that
they get together not even a year or so because they've already have sexual activities and they get pregnant, yeah, and then not even too long for them they're split. And I'm not knocking anyone for that. All I'm saying is that if you really save and really respect yourself and
your
wait
worth
for the right time, even if you do it at a young age, you can know the importance of sex. Is not just that, you know, my grandma and my aunties and them, they would always make a joke, like now that I'm older, they will always make a joke and say, oh, you know, you're gonna get tired of having sex. But it's true, because it got to a point when you're married, you don't have those sex as much and as often.
You don't
as,
have that problem.
Yeah, no. Hey, as often as often as you want to be, because it's now like a thing that you know you always, yeah, can get. You know, but people step out of marriage and things like that because of just not having the understanding, yeah, that sex was made for each other. Because
yeah, it's an expression of love.
Yeah, of love, yes.
Like what I would say about it is like the importance of sex, right, is that it comes along with the relationship that is involved with marriage, right? And we definitely condone and push that you should be married, yeah, when you do it. But that doesn't mean we're exclusive to the fact that it happens before marriage too. We, yeah, know that there are people there who probably, all we're saying is just practice safe sex. Don't, yeah, just be out there willy-nilly giving it away to, yeah, everybody, because the thing is that you gotta value yourself as a person, but more importantly, health is so important mentally, physically, and spiritually. You don't just share yourself with everybody because you take away a piece of somebody with you, and that person is always gonna have that thing with you. Sex is just that. It's an expression of love, but it's not everything. Yeah. It is not everything you're focused on.
And I thank you for saving your virginity.
Well, you know, what I will say is that, all jokes aside, so I've had sex with a lot of people, with a lot of women. Sorry, let me be more clear. I've had sex with a lot of women. And the one thing I learned from that negatively, positively, yeah, it was for the feeling. Yeah, it was for the feeling. But negatively, there was more negative effects that lasted longer on me because of what I did to those women. Now, I'm not saying like I took advantage of them or assaulted, yeah, them or raped them. No, not like that. I mean in the sense of mentally how I made them feel, because they gave something away that they treasured about themselves to someone they thought they loved. And I was a jerk about that. And I'm not highlighting that. I only pray and really, I pray for not only all those women healing, but any woman healing that's in that process of going, like, did he do that for me, for love me? Because, to be honest with you, now that I have a daughter, I only pray that somebody loves my daughter for her and who she is, not because of what she can give away physically.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about sex, why I wanted to talk about it, is sex is no joke. It's something very deep and meditative, and something that we need to talk about, and something we discuss before we get into the action, because that's something that's going to live with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it's funny that you now brought that subject was even a subject, because it's something that even myself, I didn't think that I would openly talk about it, because of just the background that I come in, the upbringing that I came from. Oh, what are
you
saying?
Do you like sex?
No, I like making love.
Oh, that's nice.
So anyways, but all I'm saying is that for young girls out there, men, like, really respect yourself, ladies. Value yourself, because, you know,
you are beautiful, you are wonderful, and you just creativity. And
it's not even just about that. You have so much opportunity to just be out there and live free without having to have sex or have kids, because everything has its own time. So with that being said, like, it's something that I'm sure I free somebody out there, you know, that, like, really, man, sex is not even about
not that just that was that. Our goal. We weren't trying to, if it freed you, by all means, we pray for you. But we're doing this for us because we know how much that has carried a burden over us in our community as far as being Tongan. What I will say is just share yourself consciously. Be conscious of how you share yourself
physically. Too,
and whatever sexual orientation you practice, we don't have a problem with anybody. Look, full disclosure, on this podcast, we love all people. Mm-hmm. Whether you're black, white, straight, gay, tall, short, fat, skinny, whatever the case just love yourself. You know, be authentic. Be a real person.
Yeah.
And somebody will reciprocate that, and they will love you for you. You know, and then, you know, you make love. You know, you make love. Just like sandwiches, cheese, turkey, whatever you prefer. But, you know, all jokes aside, sex is something very important. And we gotta bring value back into that. And we gotta discuss these things so we know where we're at as people and how we value
ourselves. And just waiting for the right person, the right
Please
time.
Please wait.
Man.
If you can't wait. Because at the end of the day, when you do share yourself, it's to someone you love, hopefully.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
No, yeah, like I said, man, like, I wanted to share that with my mom, but because of then, like, I was like, oh, I can't say nothing, you know, all that. And of course, I was already 21. I could have had a big 21st, but with that being said,
God is good.
God is good. And even though we weren't married and, you know, all that, we still understood that there's some.
You are worth a lot to me.
Yeah, so, you didn't.
Thank you for sharing your body with me. With that being said, definitely, guys, practice safe sex. And if you can, hold on to marriage so you share that experience with someone you truly care about. Because at the end of the day, we share each other. We share with each other how much we love each other in that language when we perform that. So, you have anything else to say about
that? No, I'm satisfied with that, babe.
I was just blessed that... Because I love thick women. You got a big ass. And yes. Oh, man, everything was just God put you in a perfect package. And I love it. I love you. I love you.
See, I wish I could say the same.
No, anyways. No. So before we go, we would definitely like to make some mentions and shout outs. A mention is, so me and my wife are definitely in full agreement of what's going on in the Islander community, or the Polynesian Pacific Islander community, or Pacifica people. We created a hashtag called the Pacific Push because we believe the Pacific is pushing something wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We would definitely like to shout out anybody who's celebrating Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
hey,
happy
be
Valentine's.
With the person you love. other than that, do you have anything else?
No, man. Just stay true to yourself and excuse me. And respect yourself.
I got a
yourself.
Medicine for that.
respect yourself and, you know, just really be out there and live life, your best
life.
And love yourself. So.
Okay. Well, with that being said, that's another episode and installment of Aisle 7, the podcast.
Yes.
And we love you guys.
Check us
God
out.
God bless you.
God
and
bless.
Above all else, Jah bless. Yee!